In the name of the one who was and is to come. Amen. So this is a peculiar story that we encounter today. You've got the unjust judge who cares not for anyone, but because this woman bugs him to death, he grants her justice. So the moral of the story might be persistence pays off. And if you take that, you should do that the same with your prayer. If you persist and God will finally, because you've nagged God to death, he will finally give you what you want. Now, that's an easy mistake to make. It's one that I've made often. I think that if I just keep hitting God with my request, by my persistence, he'll just answer me. But I think this kind of equivalency, where God equals the unjust judge and we equal the widow, therefore we should persist always, is called an equivalency, and it's a mistake. I would like to compare that to God's great love. And I think that's what this story is about. God says, how much better am I than this judge? And how much more can we be than the widow? And so if we flatten it down and we make the mistake that it's just, you know, we should just nag God for more, we've missed so much of what the story has to say. I'd like to offer you kind of a how much more principle. I see this in several places in Scripture. If the judge responds out of frustration, how much more is God willing to respond to those who seek after him and seek his face? How much better is he than this unjust judge? For this, I want to take an example that's directly related out of Luke chapter 11. You may or may not have heard this piece of Scripture. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give this Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? So what Jesus is talking about is a smaller to greater. If we who are weak and evil know how to do something good once in a while, how much better is God all the time to respond to those who seek after him? We as humans don't have that great a vision. I think we often fall into an equivalency where this equals that. But what if we imagined a world full of positive possibilities? How much more would the world be if justice rolled freely like a mountain stream? If, as in Luke 11, if we who love our own families and get what we can for our kids, our family, our church, and our nation, how much more is God willing to do for his whole world, which he calls beloved? How much more does God call his children beloved? How much more are we called to love our neighbors as ourselves? Or even I might extend it and say, how much more are we called to love strangers as ourselves? Now, just for a moment, I want to go from preaching to meddling. And I got to tell you, I am heartbroken. I see an seemingly unending stream of unarmed black men getting shot. And I want to stop there for a second, because I know what you're probably doing right now in your head. You're probably going, oh no, it's about Black Lives Matter. No, no, it's about Blue Lives Matter. No, it's about All Lives Matter. And you probably already in your head decided that this preacher in front of you is crazy for a variety of reasons, or addle-minded or addle-headed. How much more does God want to break down the barriers of racism and fear in this world that we have created? How much bigger is God's heart for all people? And how much more does he want us to ask for a bigger heart ourselves? I think having a big heart is a solution to many of the world's problems. Because if you can ask for God to give you a heart that loves and seeks the best in the world, then your actions will flow out of that. You won't have to worry or wonder if what you're doing is right, because your heart will guide you and the Spirit will anoint you. So I want to use the parable of the unjust judge as a teaching device. How much more does God expect out of his people? How much more does he expect out of black and white communities to be a people called according to his purpose by his name to make the world a better place? And this story is not just about police violence or violence in black communities. Scripture tells a story about big hearts as well. When Jesus says to his followers, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. I would like us, as we move into our stewardship season, to ask for big hearts and let our stewardship be rooted in thankfulness, generosity, and a willingness to bless, a willingness to stick our necks out. I think our church is working really hard to fulfill Matthew 25, that piece of scripture I just read to you, to be invested in others. But how much more can God use us? And so stewardship is not just about outreach. It's about the whole world. And I don't want you to see my sermon through a narrow lens where I want you, all you remember is my heartbreak over black men, unarmed black men getting shot. I want you to see it through a much broader lens. Because Ascension, we are so much more than outreach. We are a spiritual hospital with regular doctor visits, Bible studies, and Sunday schools. It's just what the doctor ordered. We are also more than Bible study. Our worship is a doorway into the divine. What if we saw what we do right here, not just as sort of some obligation like, oh, I gotta go to church today, or if I don't go to church today, I didn't go last week, and some kind of check in a box. But this stuff we're doing right here, right now, is a doorway into the very divine heart of God. And it's a privilege to worship Him in spirit and truth. How much more can we become a clear window through which to view the face of God in Christ? And even beyond that, we are so much more than outreach and worship. Our level of fellowship and affection is a joy to me. We love each other. But how much more can we become a community who knows not just to love each other because we're kind of next to each other, but we love each other because we're absolutely, totally committed to each other, because we know that each of us bear the face of Jesus Himself. I think all of what I've preached to you is held together by the vision of our church. If you look at our website or on a lot of other places, the vision of the church says we strive to be apprentices of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, grounded and guided by the living Word. It is our vision to continue to grow into a multicultural and intergenerational congregation through worship, fellowship, mission, and outreach. How much more fun can we have trying to live into this vision? You might ask it another way. It's how can we increase our spiritual capitalization rate? The capitalization rate would be what I define as the percent of people who reach their full potential. Those of us who really live into what God has called us to be. You could measure it by how many visitors turn into spiritual leaders. How do we break down the walls of loneliness through fellowship? How do we just disciple each other to be the very image of God and to carry that image around in the world? I think we do, in some ways, fall short of this vision because we have so much spiritual horsepower just tucked away in our pockets. We have so many gifts and talents that we don't really know what to do with. Part of the church's job is to help you to live into your full spiritual capitalization, to help you be the person you were called to be by God. And if we pray for big hearts, these big hearts will take hurts and they will take risks because God calls us to make strangers brothers and sisters in Christ. So I think we're ready to try something new. Now, this stewardship season is the year ahead, and we're going to ask you for money, and we're going to ask you for your time and your talent and your treasure. And this is part of the package. Now, this is not a sermon for you to double your pledge, but I certainly won't complain if you do. Your generosity profoundly shapes what we're able to do this year and in 2017. But I want the question to hang over you and to be on your hearts is how much more does God want to use Ascension for His purposes? How much more can we do to support Ascension in this year and in the years to come? I'm not just asking for your pledge this year. I'm asking for your hearts and minds because we're on a vision planning process. In the next 6 months, we're going to spend time thinking about the next 5 years. What I'm convinced of is we cannot sit back and hope for the best. God is absolutely calling us to be more than we could ask or imagine. He is so much more than we think we are right now. We are so much more than we think we are right now. And I know in this place, we have lost a lot of people to death, especially in 2015. I buried far, far too many people for one priest to do in one year. And we could sit back and we could wring our hands and we could fret about the culture around us, or we could say, God, what big love do you have for this place, and how do you want us to use us to share that big love? That's a vision that I can get excited about. That is not dependent upon who shows up and who doesn't. It's about God and God's purposes for us. So please, think about what God is calling you to do. Please pledge. Please step up to help us with our vision. Please help us shape our future. And all with the question is, who does God want us to be and do for His love? Amen.